Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Freedomizer family. You are joining Cheryl this morning on Cheryl with Cheryl. Today is Friday, September 24th, and my co-host Randy is out of town, so I'm flying solo today. I have a very special guest planned to join us, and let me just give you a little bit of a background of who she is. Yes, hold on. Okay. Live radio. We're getting my guest on the air. There she is. Perfect. Okay, so let me just do a little intro to my guest, Carrie Lynn Dorman. Actually, let me just bring you on and let's... There
Hi.
We are. We are live. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, here we are, Friday morning. We've got a lot that we can cover, and I just know my audience is going to get so much from what whatever is going to come from this gathering here today. So, welcome, Carrie, to my show.
Thank you for having me, inviting me, and being a part of my journey.
So, you guys, I want to share. I'm Cheryl with Cheryl because I have such a heart for sharing. Like, just so much value that this beautiful human has and is affecting the collective on a grander scale. So I want to share that with you. And let's see. So I'm going to tell the audience a little, like, how I met you, and then I want you to just give us some background of your story and how you ended up here.
Okay.
So in 2017, when I was living in Colorado, I started doing a workout called Booty Yoga, and I first was introduced to it through Facebook online. And I did workouts for a couple months online, and I wanted to find someone locally. And so I looked up and found Carrie, and that is how I first met her. I walked into a studio in Westminster, and she was teaching this practice. She has extensive knowledge on yoga, not just booty yoga. So it was always a pleasure to be in class with Carrie. And from there, many other things developed that I was introduced to just because of meeting this beautiful person. So I would like, if you would, to tell us a little bit about your story and how you ended up as this intuitive healer.
All right. Well,
and go as far back as you want.
Okay. It all started from the birth canal. quite literally. I came into this world really knowing kind of, how do I say this? So I came into this world knowing, I was just having a grander awareness of human interaction and human nature and the nature and reverence of nature itself. Like, just from a very early age, I have early memories from like 2 years old, understanding bugs and plants and seeds and growing and the sun and the water and the elements. Like, I feel truly that I came into this world knowing this information and was brought here to bring awareness to our ability to heal with nature, through nature, in nature, and being as pure and clean as possible. And like a lot of us, I got thrown off track by infiltration of influence of TV and radio and news and tragedies. Can you hear me okay? Cheryl! There's like this crazy galloping sound. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
already getting infiltrated. I'm going to sign out and call back in because there's like some crazy sound on my side.
All right, there we are. We're all better. Okay.
Okay.
So I love this, and I want to go back because this is what happens, right? We start talking about the good stuff, and we get challenged to even complete sentences and get things loaded onto the web. So you're talking about human. You would. Can you hear me now?
Yep, sure can.
Okay, good. So I want to get back to your story. I just love this. You knew. From a very young age that you understood nature, you understood our connection to nature, and this is how we heal. No wonder you and I have made a connection. So please,
totally.
Please continue with this beautiful story. I love it.
This is what our purpose is and how if we are to stay aligned on this natural path, we will get our answers and our guidance and our influence will be effective. And like a lot of us, we get infiltrated very young with media and radio and news and tragedy and abuse and discourse in life. We just get thrust into all these challenges. And so even through my challenges, I never forgot that knowing. So even though my health may not have been perfect and my focus was a little distracted, I always stayed true to my purity and I always stayed true to my knowing that we are to have reverence for nature and respect its power and its privilege to be with it. And through that, years of self-awareness, self-growth, kind of going through just developing as a human, you've got to grow and be a teenager and go through young adulthood and whatnot. So when I was 25, I was in the corporate world, really unhappy, couldn't stand it, couldn't take it anymore. And I made a very drastic decision to just quit and just go with whatever I was guided to do. And it's not the safest decision to make, but it was the best decision I ever made. And since then, I've been on this, experience of navigating through life, doing what feels aligned and interacting with people that feel aligned and not holding expectations around people, but just allowing people to witness and see and reflect to themselves who and what they are and bringing us all to a better understanding or awareness of what nature is and how it's here for us and how if we are in symphony with it, we can really be on our highest path and our highest alignment to our greater purpose.
Mm.
And as Cheryl mentioned, and she met me in 2017, a few years prior to that, I had suffered a really challenging shoulder injury from working and needed to have some therapy done. Well, the therapy was going to cost way too much money. And so I discovered a deeper yoga practice and just dove into the understanding and understanding of anatomy and biology and what our muscles and tendons and ligaments and bones and what our body is. And through that, my energy work developed just based on knowing what the body is and what kind of antenna it is and what this vessel is actually meant for, which has brought us to up to date, right, to this topic today of spiritual fasting and cleansing and detoxing and how to be in our highest alignment.
I'm so excited that we landed here. I'm so excited you were born.
Oh, I'm excited too. I'm excited you were born and that we're here. And even though this is a really, really challenging path and a really challenging, what feels like a challenging life for, I'm sure, everyone, There is so much beauty to be felt, had, and experienced. And it's my true wish and desire that people experience pure beauty and the purity of this life over the, the confused and the infiltration of it.
Absolutely. And we can, you know, we can kind of even go into that. Like, how are, like, this is definitely my practice, is not getting pulled into, what do I say? Like, being aware, we want to be aware of what's going on out there, but not getting pulled into the drama of it, not getting it, not giving it my precious energy that could be going to something else. So when you're either for yourself or you're working with someone and you kind of feel that, I mean, like today, I don't know why, I just felt up, it felt heavy. And I guess maybe because I had a few messages from friends that are stressing over different things that are going on. And sometimes we kind of even just not even that, like, we take on the collective stress.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that you, either for yourself or your clients, help them, like, get out of that mode where they, the outside world is, like, taking them out and come home?
Totally. Yeah, so basically what the challenge of a human is every day is to lead from the space of purity of their heart and let that operate the mind, let it operate the mind, which then operates the body. But if we're operating from the mind that's being controlled by artificial intelligence or infiltration of over-effective news, tragedy, stress, perceived stress, perceived tragedy, perceived drama, and let that overtake us, and then we spiral into worry and fear and really lower frequency energy, it literally can ruin us for the day. It'll take us into a depressive state or take us out of the present moment with our family that at that moment, or even that moment with ourselves. With clients, we practice a thought form of question, which Cheryl knows this. I'm a practitioner and facilitator of a method called Break Method. And through that method of self-inquiry, you are taught very valuable tools to help navigate through your consciousness and life and to be present, to be the most present you could possibly be. And one of those tools is to use Eli. And this is just this form of questioning that can bring us from a place of heightened kind of panic to what is important right now, what is happening right now, and should my focus be right now? What am I even spiraling out on, and is it the most important thing for me to be giving my energy to? So asking just that simple question is this that important right now, and what is the solution to this challenge, can bring us back to a zero point, right, back to the place of, like, what is my heart's desire, what am I needing right now to feel grounded, fulfilled, and safe. And also always reminding ourselves that we are in the three-dimensional existence world, meaning that we are dense bodies and we see and we touch and we feel and we hear, and we, things are visually available to us. But at the same time, there's a layer of comprehension that some people can't see that is existing at the same time. And in that existence that we can't see, it is a level of energy that's working for us and against us. And we can choose, do I want the energy that's for me or against me? And until you come to your surface level of consciousness, you're not choosing. The energy is choosing for you. And so at times when you're, like, in a pure state, it's for you, right? You're just like, oh, I'm, you know, doing this and it feels amazing and these plants and I'm eating well and I'm exercising and I'm making good decisions and my relationships are flowing so beautifully. That's working for you. And then when it's working against you, it's like you get fired, you get sick, you get overwhelmed, you sabotage, you're eating, like, you know, very poor choices of food that's degrading your energy. So there's always a battle for your consciousness, right? There's literally every day is spiritual warfare for our consciousness. And what my hope and my mission and my journey is to bring that awareness to people so that they can see I have a choice in this battle. This battle is not, it's not happening to me. It's for me to choose. Do I want it to be with me or against me?
Mm-hmm.
And
I like how you, oh, sorry. I like how you said that. Like if we don't choose the energy, it chooses for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it literally feels like it's an unfair life, an unfair situation. And so that's one of the indicators of being out of alignment. If you feel like nothing's working, nothing's going right, nothing's happening, or anything you try to do isn't working, it's just the feeling of hopelessness. That's,
mm-hmm.
It's actually external force getting you to feel that way so that you give up. We stop trying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there is no separation, this body, mind, spirit. Like,
mm-hmm.
If people want to get healthy, they can't do it. They really can't. It can't be a lasting change if they don't have a relationship with themselves, if they don't connect with, you know, the spirit and the heart, not just the mind. Like, the mind, where we've been so trained here on this planet Earth to like, refer to the mind. It's logical. It's got all the knowledge that you've learned over the years. and it doesn't rely at all. Not that the mind isn't important, but it doesn't rely at all on intuition. And,
right.
You know, we're being told that we can't think for ourselves. We're not even supposed to educate ourselves. We're not supposed to research for ourselves because we're not smart enough to figure it out. You know, that's what we're being told. And it's the complete opposite. Pretty much everything they tell us is flipped, right?
Right, exactly. It's all inversion tactic to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Even we'll breach the subject of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Even religion is an inversion tactic to get us to believe a different aspect of spirituality so that it confuses us rather than it be a pure,
yes,
connection to our higher self and source without any story attached. No story, just a direct line of,
yes,
communication,
yes,
a direct knowing and a direct connection. And you're 100% or like 1,000% correct. You cannot be a healthy, grounded individual with just going to the gym and like taking selfies and looking at yourself in the mirror and lifting weights and eating your protein and following your regimen. Your physical body likely will reflect that it looks healthy, but you will not be healthy in your dream time. You will not be healthy in your mental space, and you will not be healthy in your spiritual practice if you're not having discipline in all the areas to encompass a fully embodied spirit of being. In this human existence, the human is the vessel. The human is just the,
mm-hmm,
like the expression of all of the other things, the mind, body, spirit, soul. And until the mind and heart and soul and spirit all start to talk and communicate, and what I say, get,
yeah,
online, right? We get everything online. That's why my Instagram is Super Highways, because I want all the highways talking. I want our interconnectedness to really be like, if you can imagine, just like a spaghetti bowl of energy just totally functioning and flowing so fast and pure, and nobody's crashing into each other. It's just like the most beautiful expression of energy that could be. Until we're at that point, we're missing links, we're missing data, we're missing comprehension, we're missing information, like you said, education. It is up to us to educate ourselves on any subject, of any matter, and not just by what something tells you. The education comes from, like you said, also intuition. And the,
mm-hmm,
mind remembers instinct, okay? The mind remembers, oh, that isn't safe for me to do. I need to avoid that. The mind remembers, oh, I've been told that I will die if I do not take this as truth. For example, like if I do not eat meat, I will die because I will not have protein, right? That's a truth that we are indoctrinated with, that people believe with their whole heart and live by. But there have been people proving you don't need that or that in order to survive. And so it's going against the grain of what the mind has been forced to understand as truth, which is why being a fully sovereign being is a little, is like controversial for some people, because they don't want to undo and they don't want to look at what they've been told as that is truth, that was potentially harmful, not real, not necessary, you know?
Right.
When I stopped eating animals at 35, I had to go through a lot of, you know, recollecting and clearing energy that I had consumed that I felt so remorseful for and terrible and just really upset with myself for falling for that indoctrination, in the sense that I knew in my heart the whole time that wasn't necessary. And I did it anyway, because it was like the addiction of it was so strong.
And also you were in a culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. In a culture, totally. Grew up in Texas. I mean, we're like, cattle is
king. Oh my God,
king.
So much meat everywhere. Yeah, cattle is king.
eat more meat.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really, I think it's a really great point, because when you talk about how when you were programmed into a certain way of thinking and being, and when you start to awaken to something, you often will experience remorse, like you did over your decision, even though you didn't know, you knew, but you didn't know,
yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
It's so interesting, because I feel like I experienced a very similar thing when I like woke up out of Christianity, and
oh yeah,
you know, experienced remorse for some of my decisions and some of the ways that I taught my kids. Now,
mm-hmm.
I want to just share this with people. Like when you start to awaken some of this stuff, it's all a journey. Like, show yourself grace. While I had some of those feelings, I had to feel them. I have to process them. But then I got to a place where I was like, okay, like I did do this, and there was good that did come out of it, and there's a lot that I've learned, but I'm not going to beat myself up over a decision that I made, even though something within me for a long time was telling me this ain't right, and I continued down that path. What we don't mm-hmm. want to do is focus on the self-abuse, like, look what you did, and you follow that. It's like, okay, what we want to do is recognize it, feel into those feelings like you did with the meat, and the decisions
totally.
That had been made, and same with mine, or with drugs, or with relationships, or you guys, anything. This goes across the board. Like the way Carrie's explaining how she was feeling giving up something, we're all being asked to give things up right now.
Yeah,
we're all
and that
being
was
asked
like
to look at our lives. Yeah,
exactly. That was for me, tip of the iceberg. I had. When you start to develop the right relationship with your mind, body, spirit, and soul, you will have to dismantle every single thing you've ever thought as truth and question
mm-hmm.
it. And then you pick back up the pieces that you want to hold on to, and you literally
yes.
shed or let go or throw away or discontinue thoughts, beliefs, or truths that no longer resonate with you. And what this process does is it teaches you to delineate intuition from instinct, so that you are now
yes.
operating and learning, like you said, learning to operate from intuition rather than instinct, because the intuition is, it's literally the reason we have the remorse. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't, it's imprinting in us, it's embodying that knowing so deeply so we do not fall for it again. We do not
yeah.
make that choice to neglect ourselves of our true knowing ever again. And you're right, you have to feel it, you have to go through it, you have to mourn it, you have to grieve it, you have to get angry, you have to be sad, you have to overcome it,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to embody that new knowing as truth, and don't back down from it. Like, don't, you know, tiptoe around other Christians.
No, yes.
What they believe. It's like, no, this is my truth. This is what I was once, where you are, and now I'm here, and this is why I'm here. And that's okay if you're still over there. And that's like same with me. Like if you want to eat meat, that's on you. That's your choice, and that's fine. But this is why I'm choosing this now, and I'm here to show you I'm fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's okay, and it's a process. And I do that frequently with people. Share my process of how I came from, you know, not eating well and not taking care of my body and really not honoring this being, this vessel that I have. It's so intelligent and so profoundly informative, and I was literally giving it the worst possible care. And once I stopped doing that, like, I got so many sensations and new pathways opened up and formed, and that's where my drive comes from, the excitement and the experience of once you start uncovering and undoing and dismantling, the benefit and the gift and the beauty that comes from that is just so rewarding. And it's like, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, it doesn't happen fast. This is a lifelong journey.
Yes.
This
I was
is
just
like,
gonna say, and I want to
Mm-hmm.
This is sovereignty, you guys. This is self-ownership. Everything that Carrie is talking about, that I talk about often, I call it coming home to yourself. It's a journey home to mm-hmm. ourselves. And a journey, when you take a journey, is it done in a day? Usually not. Like, journeys take a while, you know?
Yeah,
we're becoming an alchemist. We're coming home to our alchemist. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen by dropping one habit.
Exactly, and you have to be ready for the storm, the wave, the trek across the ocean when you don't see land for, you know, so many months, and or the tragedies that come through with it, and the detriment to your knowing of maybe who and what was around you no longer exists as you once saw it, and you it's like. It's like taking yourself out to sea with no life jacket, but knowing you're going to be okay. You have to keep that knowing that you will be provided the information that you need to make it through, and that is faith. That is trust, and it's trust in yourself and your higher guidance to get through whatever it is, whatever comes your way. It's like, you're in the middle of the sea with no life jacket and your boat just got, you know, carried away. What are you going to do? And that's when I call in grace, right? Our precision of our power. You start to learn how to use your words very precisely. What do you need?
Yes.
In that
that's
moment.
Good. Ooh, that's good.
To get you to the next step. Because if we
that's
don't learn
so
to
powerful.
Communicate with our higher self, 100%. This is my new program of the right relationship, right? If we do not learn to communicate clearly, we're getting nowhere fast, literally nowhere fast.
Yes.
And,
you know, last week, Randy and I were talking about trust and faith and trusting in yourself during all of this. And I just love what you said about, because we also talk about words. I talk about words a lot because I'm becoming extremely aware of certain words that I say that I know they mean. I've used them all my life, but now I have an understanding of what they mean, and I don't want to use them in the same mm-hmm. manner. So like you said,
right.
having precision with your words, with yourself. So not just communicating with others, which is highly important, but you can practice on yourself using the precision of your words on what it is that you want to call in, what it is that you need knowing and wisdom for.
Exactly. I have these four pillars that I offer to sharpen our, I use the word prayer because that's the most common word of speaking to your higher self and or source. And it's
okay.
calling, it's saying grace, right? Saying our power of precision and how our language needs to be so precise in order to communicate to source what we need. And it's ask for what you need, what you have, what you want, and what you can give. And if you can really follow those four pillars with your grace, it's going to help you develop that precision oh so oh so well over the years, over this journey. And I'm 3 years into those pillars, and I'm getting a lot better quicker and, you know, seeing the results of my precision even faster. So there's this word out in the world called manifest, right? And I say it with my air quotes with my finger, my bunny fingers.
I know that word bothers me too. So let's go. Yeah,
right.
It bothers me too. Let's talk. Go on your manifest.
So,
oh, what does that mean?
There's just been this overarching idea that, oh, if I think about it, it'll happen. Well, not necessarily. It's not that easy. It's like you've got to see the vision, be clear about what it is and what the essence of it is and why you need to come to fruition, and then you have to go get it. You can't, it's not just going to show up on your doorstep, whatever you know, you're asking for, a baby or a job or a man or a house or a car or money or whatever. Like, everybody's really materialistic with their manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I encourage people to go into their power of precision and say grace. And this is what's going to walk your life through the doors of what you're looking for, right? If you want peace and serenity in your life, what's in the way of getting you there? And what are you ignoring by not letting go, right? Keeping that job that doesn't
mm-hmm.
serve you, or keeping that person in your life that's stealing that from you, or not communicating
yep.
clearly with yourself or with others that's keeping you from experiencing that state of being. So it goes far deeper than materialistic things and the whole, like, I don't know, you know, the off the cuff, I manifested that parking spot. Well, okay, maybe, but really,
I know.
But, let's not yeah. abuse our power here, right? To me, that's an abuse of power. Like, let's honor the precious gift of our grace and really be grateful that parking
really
spot
use.
Showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's be real.
I love that. Can you do me a favor and list the four pillars again? I was writing them down and I missed one.
Sure. Need, have, mm-hmm. want. And give. So
okay.
like what you need in your life, you need a safe, loving place to exist, or you need a kind partnership to come along in order to move into the next phase of XYZ. And to get that, then also you need to be clear on the messages you need to be receiving in order to see where
mm-hmm.
that person might be, or you might need the intrusive thoughts to be removed so that you can not be depressed, so you can be more aware in your day-to-day abilities, like getting to the heart of what we need, not just,
wow,
I need a partner. No, I need to be clear in myself, and my thoughts need to be clear, and my body or my vessel, or maybe even down to I need my digestive system to be working properly so that I can think clearly. Like,
mm-hmm.
spirit, show me, what am I eating that's not serving my highest good? Like, what is blocking me? What is holding me back? Please show me. I'm open to receiving that message. And then you got to be ready to receive. When you start asking with grace, you better be ready. And if you go against it, that's on you at this point. So this is coming into full openness with your ability to really show up for yourself. Because there's no
right.
excuses
and why
once
would...
you start... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would we ask if we're not gonna wait for the answer
well,
and be willing
we might ask
to go into
we
it?
We want the answer, right? We want
right.
the answer. A lot of times we're trained for the answer to be easy. Oh, because I can turn the TV on, or I can take a pill, or I can, you know, pay this person X amount of dollars, and they're gonna tell me what's wrong with me. Okay, that's the same as manifesting, right? It's like putting your power into something else rather than taking that full ownership and saying, oh, it's because I'm eating this, that's why I'm not clear. Okay, now
mm-hmm.
I have to give it up, right? And then we go to that next layer of like, oh, now I really got to put some work in here, because I got to give up one of my favorite things in the world in order to be my highest self. Do I want to do that? And that's where a lot of people, they're like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up that
yeah.
football game. I don't want to give up that pizza. I don't want to give
yeah.
up that whatever they might be so addicted to that's holding them back from getting to that next layer of consciousness.
So what? Yeah. So we all have addictions, and they show up. They show up most when I would say quite possibly source or a higher self would like to meet with us.
I would
like to have
that.
A little conversation with us.
It's definitely the testing ground, 100%.
Yeah, and so that's one way we can start to recognize things that are going on. Like when you're feeding your addiction, you can start to ask yourself questions like she was talking about the needs. Like, what is it that I need right now?
Yeah.
And like Carrie said, when you go on this journey to really know and honor and love yourself and connect with the source that created us, it goes so deep. Like she said, these needs aren't just about, we have our superficial needs. But the further you get into this journey, it's like those things start to fall away. Like I can relate when you were talking about giving up that corporate job and making this really huge, drastic decision to just give up that safety to follow what felt right in your heart, what felt best. And I'm definitely on this journey as well. You know, I was laid off from a corporate job a few years ago. And it was actually right before COVID, the end of 2019. And I wanted it. I called it in. I wanted to lose that job. Like, I didn't want that corporate life anymore. I needed the little boot out the door. And ever since then, let's see, it's been, what is today? Oh, I just got chills. How weird is that? I was laid off 2 years ago today. Woo! And I'm free. But it's been interesting because during this time, it's like, well, when I feel into the fear tells me I need to get another job, J-O-B. I need something that has the security and the future, whatever. It's all bullshit.
Right.
But
right.
That's been part of this thing too. Like you were saying, I've been falling deeply into this trusting source for the provision of my needs when I know that I am serving others from this pure space in my heart. And how can we not be provided for under those circumstances?
Right.
And that's
it's something to test, and it's a glorious reciprocation to to receive. Like it is the biggest love I've ever experienced, and it comes in the tiniest packages, like the smallest. It could be the smallest gesture, or glance, or smile, or it's the weirdest thing. It's not. And that's my journey so far, right? Because I feel like it's going to get bigger and bigger. I know it's going to get bigger and bigger. But at this point, my rewards are like, okay, here's this. Here's your chocolate on your pillow. Here, like, that's the analogy. But, you know, how special that feels, right? Ooh, a chocolate. It's like, yay. And the journey of that trust and knowingness is just getting stronger and deeper and solidified the more that I don't give in to going into that mindset of I'm not safe. I need a job. I have to go do this. I have to fall back into that old pattern, right? Yeah, I know you know. And I've been with you, Cheryl, since the inception of your, like, I don't think I want that job anymore, because it was 2 years later that you got laid off, but 2 years prior you started to plant that seed. And so that's a good point.
Yes.
When we have the inclination and the thought and the intuition's really tugging at us, it takes a while sometimes to walk all the way through the door. But it takes us acknowledging what are we not aligned with? What is our heart's desire and going for it? And the bravery comes with time. And you have been brave in your journey since. And I've seen it in you, your trust develop, and you're just like, you know, pardon my language, but like your effort, you're like, screw it. This is what we're doing, no matter how hard it is. And, you know, you're like me, if I got to have everything I own in one tiny car, then that's what it is for now. And you know what? We've both been there, and now we're not there. Like, it comes and goes. And I've learned from very valuable women in my life too that have been on this journey, and like men too. They showed me, I was like, whoa, this is a way of life. I can do this. Like, that's where I've wanted my whole essence to be this whole time. But I was caught up in the societal standards. I was caught up in just the indoctrination that we're born into of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it to keep us trapped in the system. The system that's not for us. It's the system that's against us. Yeah.
It's a system that's against us. And I so appreciate that you remember that I talked to you about that, like, before it even came to fruition. And, I mean, truth be told, I never liked the job. But I committed to something for 14 years. No, but I did. I stayed with it for a long time, and I have many reasons. But the main one was I was able to work from home and set my own hours, and I was a single mom with teenagers, and I felt at that time it was the best decision to stay in that in that place. It definitely it stretched me in many ways. And when you stay in something after the expiration date, you really start to lose your peace with it. So I think that's like when I met Carrie. It was that summer, actually. My kids and I had all separated, moved into different places. And so I was in that time where I was like, I can really look at myself now. And what do I want? Because I don't want that. And then it was like, well, then what do I want? And I really had to dig, you guys. Like, it took me a number of months where I was seriously meditating and thinking on and asking myself questions about what do I want and what could I do. And sometimes that starts with questions like, what do I don't want? It's important to recognize that. But then you don't focus on the what you don't want. Because anytime we focus on the don't want, we just draw more of the don't wanting it. So this is like a little switch that you flip in your mind.
Totally. And that's actually one of the first like steps with clients or individuals that come to me that are looking for change, is I ask them, how do you want to feel?
And they
often are like, I know how I don't want to feel. Like, but what do you want to feel? Like, what are you missing? And then we dissect it to how do we get there through that? Like, how do we get to that feeling? What brings you that joy? What brings you that happiness? What brings you that peace? And oftentimes they don't know because they have never felt it, or they don't know where in life that exists. And then their journey starts, right? That starts from there. How do you want to feel? Let's find it. I know what makes me happy. I know, like, I've always known. It's not. But I got off track for many years because of, you're told you're supposed to go to school and go to college and do this and make money and have babies and get married. And even if we're not like directly told these things, it's infiltrated and influenced into our being just based on everything that we're exposed to. And this is another layer of indoctrination that I bring to people's awareness. What is important to you? And even if you made those decisions and now you're coming to your awakening after making those decisions, you don't have to give all that up. We just have to find the union and the unity and with what you have created with your life to keep existing forward in your highest alignment and path. Because, you know, if you rewind, you might not have had kids. Timing that you did, had you had a different awareness before then. And it's hard for some people to acknowledge because then they feel guilty for saying that they maybe didn't want their kids yet. But that's not what we're trying to pull out. We're just saying, who would you have been had you not had right? That challenge at that time. And then you get to be that now. You don't have to necessarily like have regrets. You just learn, you know.
No regrets. And I think that's the biggest thing. That's one of the biggest things with what we're doing and going through in this life, is it's about lessons. It's not about beating ourselves up. And honestly, like when you talk about looking back at different things in your life, if we're to be honest, and really look at that situation, chances are we really did make the best decision we could with what we thought we had
at that time
as possibilities before us at that time. Absolutely. Would we go back and make that same choice now? Probably not. And so we don't have to. Right? Then we don't have to.
Right.
We don't have to go back and repeat. It's like, okay, I learned from that, and now I don't have to go do that again. Or I know people beat themselves up a lot because they feel like they get it and they make progress, and then they fall back and they, you know, they fall back into an addiction or a relationship or a mistake that they feel. And the thing is, it's like, yeah, but you might have fallen back, but you're already further than you were before the first time you fell back. Like, you're
100%.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Those relapses are just that. It's just a relapse. It's like even someone like me who's very disciplined and secure in my knowingness, I will have weak moments where I want to have something that just I know is either going to make me feel sick or isn't aligned with my highest good. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I got to experience it again because I got to remember that tummy ache or that eczema or that, you know, emotional response that comes from that interaction, to remember again, to embody the knowing that that's my instinct. That's not my intuition telling me I want that. That's my instinctual push. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. You know, I didn't use those exact words, but I love it. And I shared a post last night, just kind of sharing exactly what you said. Like, I experienced it again. Like, I knew over the last few weeks I was letting some foods into my diet that I would not normally eat. Cake. Well, of course, you know, I'm going to eat cake for my birthday. I could have been whatever. I could have made my own cake. I could have made it so it wouldn't make me feel like whatever. But I was like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the carrot cake, and I'm not going to have this one. Like, and then there were some other things. And then it's weird what happens. I think a lot of times we do this. I mean, I wasn't, like, going down a spiral, but we start to tell ourselves, well, I allowed that. So then it's like the next thing that you kind of get presented, it's easier than to give in to it. So it's like, okay, well, then I had the edamame. I don't do good with soy. Like, it does not sit in my joints well. So here I am, and it takes a while to sit in the body. But after eating some foods that I knew would affect me, here I am a few weeks later, and my joints hurt so bad. I'm inflamed. My back, any area that normally, or not normally, but would hurt that I've healed, if I eat these foods that cause my body inflammation, it activates that pain again. And so, like you said, it's like I was in full awareness. Like, I've had my mother say to me, oh, you can eat that. It's not going to kill you. And it's like, well, maybe not. It's going to kill me right now.
Yeah.
But it makes
not
me feel
fast,
like I'm going to die sometime. Not fast.
Yeah.
Slow death. And especially
exactly.
Like, we do this. We make excuses all the time. Like, it's not going to kill me. I'll just have a little bit. What is wrong? It's not going to kill you. You're not going to die from it. And it's like, well, but you are a little bit each day. You're either dying or living. So, I just came up with that. So what are you putting into your body, mind, and spirit? What are you ingesting? Not just food-wise, alcohol, everything, relationships, the things that you're consuming, you know, through media. That's just seeping into your whole being.
Yeah, everything from our thoughts to infiltration of music, sound, what people don't like. So for someone like me, I'm very sensitive to everything, like sound, wind, air, smell, all of it. And if you just sit wherever you are and you draw your attention outward to all of the sounds that you hear, you realize, like, it's constant. Cars, people talking, motors running, maybe the buzz of the refrigerator or the, you know, the electricity in the house. There's always a sound occurring. Always a noise. And that has degradation effects on our nervous system that an unaware person. And then there's no judgment for unawareness. It's just that degradation over time will really take its toll on the body and the mind and the spirit and the soul. But me speaking that, I guarantee you, you're going to be like, oh, my God, I can't stop hearing sounds now. Carrie told me about sounds, and that was all I ever hear. It's like I remember in school, the teacher was like, we started talking about birds in the sky, and I was like, huh, never thought about this many birds before. I was like, well, you always see a mockingbird or a cardinal or like the common, the blue jay or whatever. And he said, no, now that you know all these birds exist, you're going to see so many more birds in the sky. And I was like, mm-hmm. happening. And it started happening. And so this is what consciousness is. This is what awareness is. This is what the act of acknowledgement is. I see this. I know this now, and I can't ignore it. How am I going to challenge it and deal with it? So with these addictions, once we realize, oh, that makes me feel bad when I do that. That is not for my highest good. That is not the results of having that in my life are detrimental. Then it becomes a conscious decision to sabotage, a conscious mm-hmm. choice to keep on that path. And now it's no longer being decided for you, but you're deciding it. And that's where we have choice, right? Oh, I can choose, as hard as that is, not to do that or eat that or be that or think that or know that or whatever. I'm going to choose to do the quote-unquote right thing and go the other direction and say no this time. Or even if I say mm-hmm. yes, I'm going to have a little bit, but I'm going to give myself a container rather than – because I feel yeah. you on the carrot cake. I'll yeah. eat the whole thing too. Yeah. I'm like, I have no boundary, so my boundary has to be like, I
oh my God,
because I will eat it all. It's like
well,
the hardest
if
thing.
If it wasn't
ever
made by a grandma, homemade, like, it's so freaking good. I just
well, the side effect of higher consciousness is that everything turns into a drug. Everything, literally everything, is
say that
available
again.
For
say that again.
So
the benefit
thing about
of
higher
consciousness.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a benefit, but a side effect of higher
yeah.
consciousness is that everything turns into a drug. So everything is
yeah.
is a form of consumption. Even obsession of thinking about, is this right or wrong? Should I take this or not? Should I do it this way or not? It's like thinking itself
oh
can be an addiction. And if we go again
wow.
back to our intuition, we gotta really operate from that intuition standpoint. So the whole journey is dismantling the instinct, strengthening the intuition, and operating from a very quick decision, very quick knowing, like learning how to be very precise with that knowing. And that's, again, where the grace comes in. And this is a tool we have to develop. So over time, this develops. And this is where I'm saying I came into this life with. I came into it knowing very quickly, always, what my yeses and nos are, what my,
oh,
and
wow,
don't get me wrong,
that.
I've had my struggle with addictions because the freedom of not feeling or being numb or escaping is very desirable when your body is in pain or you're
mm-hmm.
out of alignment. And at some point you have to be stronger than that pull and say, no, I'm going to figure this out and move from this pain rather than cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just, you know, ignore it. I'm going to face it and I'm going to surpass it. And this is where, okay, so where spiritual fasting comes in hardcore, because I'm at a point now where I've come so far away from my pain that I'm now eliminating things that I've been told are absolutely necessary to survive.
Ooh,
I'm
tell
like,
me about that.
Well, food, for instance, fasting, literally fasting from food to look even deeper into my addiction habits and thought process and my patterns. So I've been fasting for over 5 years now, periodically throughout the year. I do it for duration. So there's this fad. There's always a trend that comes along, and it's intermittent fasting right now. And sure, if you're someone who overeats and struggles with, like, portion control and things like that, intermittent fasting, I guess, is okay to do. It's not something I promote or talk about or even care to even touch on, but I'm just putting it out there. When I talk about fasting, that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is going consecutive days without food in order to really analyze, look at, and acknowledge our thoughts, emotions, and patterns that come up when our body is empty and learning to be clear and tune in our intuition even stronger. Because without food, you now have no excuse for your behavior to be such, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I ate that, so I feel bad. Mm-hmm. I ate that. My skin is this. I did this, that, the other. It's always an excuse with food. Oh, I'm hungry. I need to eat. Or I'm hungry, so I'm acting like an asshole. Or
always an excuse, isn't it? We use it as an excuse.
Right. Mm-hmm. I ate this, and 4 days later, I feel like shit. It's true that it's probably from the food, but we chose to eat that food, right?
Yeah.
So it comes back to those choices of addictions. And with spiritual fasting, so aside from just eliminating food from the diet, the spiritual aspect is that you go into this experience of days, whatever you commit to, knowing you're held, you're protected, you're kept, and you're safe, and you are not going to suffer, but you are going to experience what you need to experience to break through the next barrier. It's like going to battle with yourself. It's going into the battlefield in a, I don't want to say controlled environment, but a safe way so that you can see, how do I react when I'm this clear or I'm this hungry or I'm this, that, and the other? Also, it gives the body a chance to release toxins that it's been holding on to for these moments. The body will not release and will not detox if it does not feel safe or doesn't have the time and energy to release it. So when we start to fast, go on these fasting journeys, you do experience symptoms of detox. You do experience discomfort. You do experience skin reactions or stomach reactions or, I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has different reactions to fasting, especially if they've been holding in, right, harboring years of emotional suppression, dietary, you know, choices, the chemicals that come from the air and the water and the sound and the what do you call it, the internet waves. I don't know why I can't think of the word. The millimeter waves from the Wi-Fi. It all has a very profound effect on our bodies and creates discourse in us. And we have to go in and we have to, what I call purifying the temple. We have to go in and clearing it out, clear out the gut, clear out the system, give the body a chance to rest and reset and sharpen that intuition. In those times, you get sharp, you get clearer. And it's a profound experience, spiritual fasting.
You know, my introduction to fasting was through the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, I was born and raised in Christianity. And so it's funny because there's not talk about like the things that you're saying on even the health aspect of it. Like you are detoxing, this sort of thing. I think it's kind of taught that when you're fasting, you're to be in prayer. You're to be connected to God, that sort of thing. But I like that that when you don't go into a fast like with just the idea of this is going to cleanse my body or this is something that my body needs, but you go into it with the connection that my spirit is not separate from my body. So this whole thing is going to take me into some places that really don't have anything to do with food, but being hungry is the thing that's going to drive me there.
Right. 100%.
It's a beautiful practice. It's learning. It's sitting in that. And while you have, you know, in this, like Carrie talked about being in this 3D experience, we're very aware of our five senses, but how about that intuition? That's the one that we really want to connect to, the one that we can't see, hear, feel, taste, smell. But when you when you tap into these other senses, like Carrie was saying about sitting in silence and being aware of the sounds that are around you or the smells or the energy, it's like just really tapping into that and then let it go deeper beyond what's just what we can see. I need to take a really quick break, and then we have a half hour left, and wherever we go with it, we go. But I love that we're moving into the fasting, and I would like, if you want to share with us some of the ways that you guide people into cleanses and detoxes and fast and all that stuff, because I think there's way too much confusion out there
for
people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're going to take a real quick one-minute break, you guys, and we will be right back.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, Sunday night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, against government overreach, against tyranny, and against the globalist agenda to undermine our precious American sovereignty. Discussions are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes the conversations wander off into unpredictable directions. Please check out the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook, and as always, like and follow it. Thank you, and again, I hope you'll join me Sunday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, part of the Freedomizer Radio community.
Right on. Right on, Lorianne. Okay. So we are back here on Cheryl with Cheryl, and we've got our guest Carrie Lynn Dorman today. And I just want to real quick throw out to anybody listening this last half hour, if you have any questions for us and want to call in, you can dial 319-527-6208, and you would press 1 to talk. All right, we are back, and we're getting into really into fasting, cleansing, detoxing, and this is such a specialty of yours that, you know, I know you've done so much of your own personal work that you're able then to take this out and help others. So wherever you want to go with this and share with us how or what you do in that realm, I would love it.
Yeah, so as you've experienced with me, there are these annual retreats that we hold out, taking women out into the desert, and we fast for 3.5 days and perform. We're walking in prayer the whole time, and it's a medicine list ceremony. So there's no medicine happening. The medicina is that there is no food. The medicine is the prayer. The medicine is the sun. The medicine is the elements. It's just pure. And that pure connection to ourselves with the earth, we camp, we're outside, it's like totally, totally raw. So that's where I started my fasting journey, and I feel the most, you know, intense activations when I'm fasting that way. But as a person in society, and I exist with, you know, the technologies and work and have to show up every day, I've also learned to integrate fasting into a regular lifestyle. And so through that, I created a protocol of 10 days where we ease the body into the detox, ease the body into elimination. We hydrate the bowels. We get the body into a place of, you know, feeling like it can drop into having no food for a few days. By eating raw, drinking certain liquids in certain quantities, taking certain herbs to just really set the body up to be without food for a few days. And the choices, you can choose 1, 3, or 5 days of no food. And then we ease the body back into having substance as you come out of it. So there's a protocol that we follow. And through that protocol, it allows the body and the mind, the spirit and the soul to come in communion together gently, rather than just being like, okay, I have the weekend off, I'm going to not eat this weekend, and kind of throwing the body in a shock, right? Which comes back to the intermittent fasting. It's like, okay, well, I woke up and I'm not going to eat till 2. Well, then the body's just like, what are you doing to me? Why is this happening? I don't know what's going on. Instead of giving it the preparation, like, hey, we're not going to eat till 2 o'clock today, so don't get hungry. Don't worry about it. Like, we're all good. And your focus tends to be on other things. The mind can take over and the body is signaling, hey, we didn't have breakfast. Why didn't we have breakfast? We're used to having breakfast at this time. You didn't feed me. What's going on? Right. Sends you into fear response. So then the adrenals get thrown off and the cortisol levels, and the body is just like totally confused. So by fasting and cleansing within a container and a process with a protocol, you give the body, the mind, the spirit, and the soul the direction to come together and get, like I said, get online and start to work together, rather than it all being separate, thinking, well, I do my meditation over here, and then I do, you know, my exercise over here, and then I do my eating over here, and then I do my homework or my studies and my research over here. It's like, no, it should all be happening. You should be studying yourself while you're not eating, and then you're also meditating with breath and exercising at the same time. Like, everything should be always commingling.
Commingling. I like that.
Right? To bring the intuition into the sharpness that we're working towards. Yeah, I mean, taking people on fasting journeys is really amazing, rewarding, and it's a very intensely, how do I say it? Like, it's an indicator of where they're at, and it helps me gauge how to further help them along their journey, like just with the guidance that I can provide of, hey, why don't you take a look at this? Or, hey, like you said, the self-deprecation sets in. Okay, we need to work on that, because that's the first thing, is to not beat yourself up for getting hungry or feeling like you can't do it, or, you know, eating on the first day or something if someone happens to run into that block and just can't get past it. And it's learning that it is a journey, and you commit to what you're doing, you give it your best, and you analyze yourself during the process. It's just all about having self-awareness when we're going through these spiritual fasting experiences. And you never stop. Like, I don't intend to ever stop. The longest fast I've ever done was 12 days so far. And
the
experiences that I had over those 12 days was profound, like profound. And I'm convinced that this is where our true healing actually comes from. Utilizing the tools to get to that mental space to be able to hold yourself for that long is necessary. Like, you've got to prepare to jump into something like that. You can't just go full speed ahead. I mean, you could, it just might not be very pleasant. But it's a smarter move to ease into the process and start with 1 and 2 day fast or 3 day fast a few times a year, figuring that out, getting yourself, you know, comfortable with those kind of things, and then build up with your journey over time to longer fasts and bigger experiences and deeper connection.
Absolutely. Do you find that when people are going through this time of fasting, do they get challenged with a lot more than just food, like other addictions? Do they tend to kind of come to the surface, and are people maybe more able or willing to look at that stuff because they're already in this heightened sense of awareness of being hungry? Or does that kind of make them want to then run to their addictions? What have you seen?
Kind of both. So most people are afraid to start fast journeys because they have prior addictions or disordered eating in their history that they think is going to activate those old habits to come back. But what I have experienced, especially with disordered eating, is that fasting actually resets their relationship with the body and food, because they realize that the energy and the control that food once had on them isn't even real. they finally get that answer that they've been looking for, because all that time they let the food control them and control their behavior. And when you take food out of the equation, you can't blame the food. You can't blame that you're binging or not eating based on it's available. It's not even available. You have to look at yourself in the process. And I've had all spectrum of disordered eating people fast with me, and every single one of them comes out the other side realizing, challenged by something that wasn't even there. Like, they realize, I'm not saying that their disordered eating is not a real problem, but when you take everything away and make the person look at themselves and be with themselves and feel themselves and really get raw and naked and just totally undone, they uncover a deeper layer than an eating disorder. There's something else under there. And then they realize, I don't have to have this as a roadblock anymore. That's not my roadblock. My roadblock is this. Like, we get to the actual roadblock. Whereas, like, therapy is not going to take you there. Therapy is going to try to, work with the mind. Tell yourself that you can eat, that you're okay, that your weight is healthy, that this is whatever you're seeing in the mirror is not real. Or, right, it's literally trying to make your mind tell your body something that it doesn't believe, and that doesn't work. And we know that doesn't work because you, me, all the women that we've ever worked with have some sort of dysmorphia or something that they've experienced where, like, you can't trick the mind, but you can bring everybody online together to work together to bring you to a higher place of acknowledgement. And that is what my aim is toward, bringing everything online so that we can be real honest. And not having, like, part of the body, part of the picture in the dark. Because I think that's what traditional talk therapy or rehabilitation does. It just kind of keeps the soul in the dark, doesn't acknowledge the spirit, tries to get the body and mind to work together, but it doesn't actually, that's not encompassing the full spectrum. So there's never healing that happens. There's just control. It's just control.
And the mind is controlling, but... Mm-hmm. It's really not. I mean, the mind wants to control.
In a false way, right.
Whew.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, no, really. This is, I feel like this is the way that we're going for healing. And, our paths cross for a reason because there are things within me that have always known certain things. But we're not surrounded by that. That's not the common knowledge, that the body heals itself, for example, that we can heal ourselves,
totally.
That we actually have the individual unique knowledge within our own operating system to heal it. And
100%. And that's,
Karen,
that's what, like, literally fires me up. Go ahead.
No, that's what we do as guides and facilitators, as guide people, but then they don't need us, right? Like, we're not therapists in the sense that you're going to keep meeting with us over and over and over the same topic. Like, no, you're going to actually break through some shit, and then you're not even going to need, it's not that you don't ever reach out for support, but you won't need it in the same way because you now have your own strength within yourself, your own resolve, your own sovereignty. Like, you're starting to walk in that, and this is where true freedom lies. It is within. There's way too much out there that is a distraction from all the beauty that is within ourselves that we have yet to discover.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And also with that, I know what's in my experience, people actually can feel detracted from me because they don't want to believe that it's within them, that they have what they need all within themselves to be their purest, fullest, highest self. And everything that I offer people once they learn it, if they embody it, you're right, they don't need me anymore, and they have to stay disciplined in order for it to work. And having discipline is the number one thing that people do not want to commit to. They do not want to do something over and over. They do not want to acknowledge that it's that easy, and they do not want to believe that they don't need medicine or a surgery or a person to help them facilitate it consistently. It's like they don't want to do it alone. And to me, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
We're here. We're literally born to learn how to be alone. And all we do and all we're taught to do is to learn or to avoid being alone. Everything we ever do is avoid being alone. When we're alone, we learn the most. And I'm not saying we should isolate and never be around people, but our biggest healing and our biggest like breakthroughs come through in those moments when I don't have any food in my body and I'm sitting in nature somewhere and have some sort of profound awareness experience and layer shed again. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And don't get me wrong, I love being around people when I am fasting who are also fasting so we can break through together.
Yeah, we have done that. I have done that.
we have done that. And that's an aspect of the journey that I cherish and I truly believe is valuable to come together in those times to do that spiritual work together. Because it shows dedication, it shows reverence, and it's the aspect of being in our human suits with our spiritual freedom that I value the most. Is like when someone can meet me there, I am like, let's do it. Let's do this. And that being said, I'm working with another individual, my dear friend Sierra. She and I are going to start hosting spiritual fasting, like outings, hikes and outings where we're going to take people on journeys, essentially 2 and 3 day journeys out in nature where we're not going with provisions and being one with nature. And we're going for it. We're like, we're ready to call in those individuals that are ready for that kind of challenge and be there for it and do it.
Absolutely. Oh God. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you shared that here. That's exciting. I love you both. Yeah. I'm a blessed individual who got to have one of these wilderness spiritual experiences with Carrie and Sierra. I met Sierra at our retreat last summer. And oh my God, you guys, you're in for some good stuff. You know, that's really interesting because I have such a, I've been having this thing in me that keeps coming up, like take people outside, take them outside, teach them outdoors. And while I haven't felt like the 2 to 3 day fasting to take other people on, I'm actually seeing myself that I could do that. So I think something to remind people of is sometimes you have to do something yourself before you really have an idea of what you're supposed to do with it.
100%.
You know, like
I would never take someone on an experience that I hadn't experienced myself and felt fully capable, but at least had the experience to say, you know, the only reason I invite women to the desert to fast is because I know it works. I know it's profound and I know it's going to provide a level of healing that being at home alone fasting is not going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, like what are some ways that like you help encourage people to get through those tough times when they're like doing it alone at home and say they still have to take care of the kids. Maybe they still have to cook for people. And do a job and show up with their full faculties as opposed to like when we are together out in the desert and our sole focus is our spirituality, each other, being in nature, letting what comes up come up. Like, how do you kind of do that in the regular world?
So, again, by example, I've done it myself. Like I worked at a butcher shop that served food and I worked all my shifts as a server giving people food all day long while I was fasting. Like I put myself in that, the most challenging seat so I could know what does this feel like and what am I doing to overcome this right now. And it would always come back to breath. It would always come back to awareness. And it always come back to my commitment. I remind myself of my why. Why am I doing this? Why am I committed to this? Why? This is crazy. Like, right, this food smells so good. Why would I choose to not eat and surround myself by good-smelling food? Well, at some point, the brain shifts. The brain literally is like, that food doesn't even smell good. You're doing this because you know the other side of this experience is a new layer of yourself that you know from experience is worth not having food for 36 hours or 72 hours. Like, it becomes nothing. It literally becomes nothing to not eat when you're fasting and you know that the benefits that are happening, the body's repairing itself, the spirit's getting connected, your senses are heightening, you're basically pulling your operating system more online, more fine-tuning and focus. And to me, having a higher consciousness aspect is far more valuable than having a bite of food, having a taste, having a drink of something like, right, that maybe would not be acceptable during a fast. You know, like of coffee or whatever, by example. It just, you learn that it's worth it. And how did I learn that? Because I broke my fast by eating during, right? Like I did the thing. I went against it. I broke the fast and I ate the food one time and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I immediately regret what you do because you're like, at the same time, what I encourage people to do when they're struggling is like, if you need to have a bite of fruit, have a bite of fruit. See how you feel. Like, if you're going to choose to break your fast, choose it with reverence. Don't overdo it right away. Just take a bite or have whatever you think you need, some broth, something to give you sustenance. And then look at how you feel. Did you really need it? Or were you just literally feeding an addiction that was beyond food, but you thought the food was the answer? And 9 times out of 10, they were just feeling neglected or they needed to have that satiation to realize, to tell the body, like, you're not dying. It's fine. You're okay. You're not going to die. Because a lot of times the fear is so deep around eating that we will die if we don't eat, which is not true. That the body's in fight or flight. So you kind of just jolt it out by giving it a piece of fruit or a drink of something. Or because when I fast, I still have liquid. There is something called dry fasting that I'm exploring now, and that is no liquid, no intake, nothing. And it's like I'm ready for that next layer, and I don't highly recommend that for someone just starting their fasting journey. To me, it's like upper level experience where I struggle with the dry fasting at this point. I just started it this year, and it's like, I'm back at square one, right? We're always in that earthworm energy. We're always in that newborn phase. When you're on a spiritual journey, you constantly elevate, and then you're back at square one. You elevate, back at square one. And you don't regress to square one. You up level, but you start at level one again. It's level 1 through 10. Okay, we're chapter 9, level 1 through 10. Chapter 10, level 1 through 10. Chapter 11, 1 through 10. It's like every chapter has a level that you have to overcome in order to get to the next chapter, right? Mm-hmm. Similar to religious texts, how there's always growth in the way that you're expanding your knowledge. So the personal journey is just an expansion of knowledge, and how you choose to expand that knowledge is up to us. And what we choose to do in our day-to-day is going to determine our level of expansion. If we're doing the same thing every day, if we're just watching the same shows, listening to the same music, stuck in the same conversations, seeing the same people, eating the same food, we're not going to expand. We're going to be bored. Mm-mm. We're going to be unhealthy. We're going to be tired. We're going to be depressed. Some people might like that. Some people might, you know, be perfectly fine with everything staying the same. For me, that's not an option. It's not even like, I would rather be uncomfortable than stay the same.
Absolutely. And I think that's something to, you know, that we can examine in ourselves, is that if we're having these feelings, like you're talking about, these emotions that are maybe depressive or maybe even you have times when you're just thinking about you know, it's 3 o'clock and you're like, I just want to go to bed. Like, can this day end? And if you stay in that like energy, you're likely between 3 o'clock and actual bedtime, you're going to probably engage in some things that aren't for your highest good. You know, but if
totally.
We can look at it and say like,
Well, totally. When you could, if you literally did something so simple as take like 3 deep breaths when you want to go to bed at 3 p.m., you're just like, oh, I'm just going to nourish my body with some breath. I mean, do it. You're automatically going to oxygenate your brain, your blood, your digestive system, and acknowledge through meridian health, right, that your lungs are literally detoxing right then. So the body might just be a little groggy from that time of day.
Yeah.
That's another thing I offer in my
Absolutely.
Energy meridian course, right? The knowing the energetic pathways of the body, the timing of how they're resetting and recalibrating themselves and what's going on within the system is crucial to our spiritual journey in order to understand why is my body reacting or responding this way on a level that we're never going to be taught in school. We're never going to be taught in a science class about energy on that level. And it's up to us as adults to continue our education in a way that is for the greater aspect of our health and vitality if we want to be healthy individuals through our transition, which is end of life, right? I'm in a situation living in Florida right now where I'm seeing a lot of older people around me, and they're really bogged down. They walk slow, they think slow, they move slow. And that's a societal expectation that, oh, when you get old, you just get slow. And I refuse to accept that and acknowledge that. And I refuse to accept the degradation of the body. The body doesn't have to degrade. The body can keep regenerating itself. It has a bioregenesis ability. We are constantly rebuilding ourselves and our bones and our tissues and our muscles and our organs. They're always regenerating if we feed it properly, if we feed it good thoughts and remove toxicities and give it the nourishment with our breath, with our movement, with our life force energy that we need to be bringing into the body in order to stay sharp and quick and moving and functioning. Because to me, my whole aspect of mission is to be as sharp as possible when it's time to transition. And when I say transition, I mean when your soul is ready to leave this vessel, it's going to move on. And when it has to move on, it's going to have to make decisions very quickly, very clearly. And the sharper your intuition is in that time, the more ready you're going to be, and the smoother your transition is going to be, right? People are often just holding on to this grip of fear of death. And to me, I embrace that transition period. I embrace that idea. I embrace that challenge. I'm like, yeah, let's be as sharp as we can be. Let's do this. Let's make this about us instead of it about being sad, awful, and, you know, whatever else you can tie death to. It doesn't have to be that way.
What an encouraging word. Oh, my God. I told you these 90 minutes would go fast. So we're like, wrapping up here. We've got less than a minute left, and I just want to thank you. And I think with everything that you just said, we could listen to this over and over and take away so many gems. But one of the last things I feel like I want to touch on is what you were saying about just coming to your breath. Like when whatever is going on around you guys right now, there's a lot. Just remember that your breath is your life force, and it will bring you to the awareness of where you are right now in this moment if you can just touch it. So I want you guys to go forward this week and have a great, great weekend. And Carrie, where can we find you if you would share that with us?
Oh, well, I'm on Instagram mostly, superhighways, ways with a Z, SUPERHIGHWAYZ. Facebook, and I have a website, Shopify at Superhighways. So if you just search my name, Carrie Lynn Dorman, you're gonna find something about me on the internet, whether it be through yoga, health and wellness, or retreat experiences. So I look forward to connecting with new found spirits that are ready to grow for sure.
Oh, God. I love you so much. Thank you for being with us today, and may you be blessed.
Hey, Cheryl, you too. I love you too. Thank you, and may we all be blessed. Thank you.
May we all. So it is. You too, babe. Bye.
Bye.